Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So, I have this question. What does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? Is it simply to make a profession, to say, I follow Jesus? Is that what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Because some people are Christian, and I've noticed this when I talk to people about religion, always sometimes comes up when they find out I'm a pastor. So what do? I'm a pastor. Oh, okay, and then they want to talk religion. And many times it's about, oh, but I really like the reincarnation thing, and I really like Buddhism, and I really like having a lot of gods for different things in Hinduism, and I really like having a supreme being, and I can access God by the ancestors, and all these weird ideas. And most people say, but I'm a Christian, even though they have those ideas, even though they think all those things are going to get them to God. They have all those ideas, but they profess to be Christians because they don't want to be a Muslim or a Hindu or something else. But does professing to be a Christian because you're professing not to be something else make you a Christian? Absolutely not. It's got nothing to do with what you say you are. If you say you're a Christian, maybe you're not. And so many people can walk, have a evangelistic event, and we can all go put up our hands and say, I'm a Christian now. It doesn't make you a Christian. The other thing that people might think is, well, hang on, if I agree with everything that Jesus says, maybe if I read the Bible and I see this amazing teacher and this amazing man of love and this amazing just blessing, and if I read his thoughts and his philosophies, if I just agree with them, and if I think like Jesus, then that's going to make me a follower of Jesus. That's going to make me a Christian. Does thinking like Jesus make you a Christian? It doesn't. Because many people think they're Christian, and many people think like Jesus, but they're not Christian. And so perhaps it's coming to church. Perhaps it's listening to worship music. Perhaps it's sitting under the word every day. Does that make you a follower of Jesus? Just the fact that you come to church on Sunday and listen to somebody preach the word, does that make you a Christian? It doesn't. All the more than what somebody used to say, I think it was Ray McCauley, that sitting in your garage doesn't make you a car. Or sitting in your garage doesn't make you a mechanic. You know, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian, folk. Listening to Christian music, reading the Bible even, doesn't make you a Christian. What about serving people? What about philanthropic, humanitarian, blessing every single human being, standing for the cause of the broken and the poor, and helping everyone you can, and being religious and pious, and not touching anything bad, and being as good as you can, and waving a flag for Israel, and all kinds of stuff? Does that make you a Christian? Absolutely not. It doesn't make you a Christian. A follower of Jesus. It's not about something you can do with your hands, your feet, your mouth, your mind. It's got everything to do with your heart. And it's got everything to do with being rather than doing. It's got everything to do with receiving rather than giving. And so I want you to understand something completely different. If you are coming to try to be a Christian, don't try to be. Rather, receive this morning. Receive what he wants to say to you. Receive it by faith. Receive what if he says something about you, you receive it by believing it. By saying, yes, I trust in this. You see, being a Christian is about being. Being a follower of Jesus is about being. But it's got more to do with receiving. Now, I know people like receiving. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? If I do this, do I get something? If I follow you, do I get something? But following Jesus means you get a lot. You really get a lot. And you shouldn't have a problem with getting from Jesus, because if he wants to give you something, he's paid with his blood for you to have it. Don't reject what he wants to give you. So if you think you're going to give something back to Jesus, hang on. Drop what you've got, because it doesn't compare to what he's giving. Take what he's giving you. And when you receive and you understand who you are by receiving, that's when perhaps you can start to do some things. But the crux of the matter is not what you do, not where you go, not what you say or not what you think, but receiving by faith in your heart. And I want to show us that from the scripture today. John chapter 14, from verse 1. I think I'm going to read the whole chapter. Are you happy? John chapter 14. This is profound, profound, profound. I mean, if you're a new believer, read John. Start at John 1. Read the whole and just look at what Jesus says. If you just assume that he's the truth, if you assume that he actually is who he says he is, if you just assume that, the kinds of things that happen in your heart is incredible. So we get to John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let not your hearts be troubled. All right, so many people's hearts are troubled right here, right now. We're troubled because of this and troubled because of that. But he's actually, the context is this, that he told them he's going to go die. So their trouble has got a bit of context. Their trouble is the person that they followed through them turning the water into wine, the person that they followed who's raised the dead, the person who they followed who's opened the eyes of blind people, the person who they followed who's fed 5,000, fed 4,000. That's just the men. They didn't count the women and the children in those cases. I mean, there's miracles and amazing things and dead being raised and demons flying out. Just at one word that Jesus says, go, and these things freak out and fly away. I mean, God, that's powerful. When you see demons come out of a person, that makes you think there is a spiritual realm. Hello? And if the name of Jesus sends the spirits out, then there's power in the name of Jesus, right? So this stuff could be true, right? So if we assume it, you're going to see some amazing things happen. So he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What's the start of it? Believe. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me and every other religion. He didn't say it, folk. I'm not arrogant by saying Jesus is the only way. I'm just a believer in what he said is the only way. If he says he's the only way, and if I try to say, come out of him in the name of this thing, this and the other, and it doesn't come out, then I know it. When I say the name of Jesus and it comes out, you know. There's something powerful about the name of Jesus. There's truth in it. And it brings life. So it's the only way. And so, I mean, this is not hard, folk. I don't know why I feel like I have to apologize for this. But if I want you to come to my house, I'm going to give you the address, right? I stay at number 160 Market Street, Johannesburg North. If you want to come to my house, I'll give you the address. And the Father's saying the same thing. To everyone that I've made, if you want to come to my house, here's the address, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I have a problem with my house being 160 Market Street, Johannesburg North, because there's a couple of Market Streets in town and there's a couple of 160 Market Streets in Johannesburg. And so often people will be knocking at the door and they say, we're at your door. And I say, no, there's no one here. But with Jesus, there's only one way. Come to him. There's no fake Jesus, no funny Jesus, all that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, I love this. I love the discussions. I mean, Jesus with his 12. This is a beautiful life group setting, where Thomas is asking a question, Jesus saying something, Philip is asking a question, Jesus saying something. Every time somebody asks a question, Jesus gives this great revelation that we all learn from. If Thomas hadn't asked the question, none of us would know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If Philip didn't ask the question, none of us would know what he's about to say now. Isn't that awesome? So most of what Jesus, all the revelation he gives, is based on people asking him questions. Won't you ask Jesus more questions? Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Wow. In other words, Jesus is God. In other words, if you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you don't see Jesus, if you don't open your eyes to who Jesus is, you can see Jesus in the pages. But if you don't see who Jesus is, you don't see the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Isn't that amazing? That every time a blind eye was opened, it was the Father doing it for his blind children. When if a demon was being cast out, it was the Father wanting to see that son delivered and free. The Father feeding 5,000. The Father reaching out. Folk, we don't know a father like this father. Our earthly fathers are a shy attempt. But this Father opens eyes, sets free, raises dead, feeds, provides, sends his own son to the cross. How about this? If Jesus goes to the cross and he dies on the cross for you, he says it's actually the Father reaching out to every one of you. The Father's love for you. Some people think, sure, the God of the Old Testament, he's quite rough, but thank God for Jesus. The God of the Old Testament has been the same the whole time. And he's reached out to you through his son, Jesus. Believe in me that I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. Or else believe on the account of the miracles themselves, the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That doesn't mean if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. It doesn't mean this. It's not in the name of Jesus, ask for whatever you like. In the name of Jesus, I want money. In the name of Jesus, I want this. And in the name of Jesus, I want that. It does not like that, folk. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying in the character and the heart and the authority and the style and the life of Jesus. In the name, when you're in the name of something, it's in everything that name represents. So you can't go and ask for a Ferrari in the name of Jesus because there are no Ferraris in Jesus. But what's in Jesus? Healing, salvation, blessing, kingdom. When you ask for those things, I will do it because that's in my name. His name is a Savior. When you ask for salvation for people, I tell you what, the Father and Son get excited and they look forward to answering your prayer. And yes, it includes provision and includes everything that Jesus did. Open the eyes, feed the hungry, do all the things that he did is a wonderful thing. But in his name, right? Because in his name is other things like perseverance. In his name is other things like carry a cross when it's tough and keep going and don't give up and don't complain about it, but just keep your eyes focused and go. That's in his name. So when I pray, in your name, help me, God. God will say, well, I'm going to help you in some way. But look in me. Look to my scriptures. Look to me. Look what I did. And you'll see what I want you to do. And sometimes he wants us to press through some tough stuff, folk. But you keep praying, in his name, in his name, in his name, because in his name is success and final restoration. In his name is final resurrection and victory over Satan and sin and sickness and everything else. It's in his name. There's no other name by which you can be saved but the name of Jesus. It's in his name, folk. Then he says this, if you love me, because you will love him when you see what's in him, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot. I like that it says that. Judas, not Iscariot. Because Judas would not even have asked this coming question. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? This Judas is looking forward to the manifestation of Jesus as God in the world. But the other Judas would never have asked that question because he never saw Jesus as God. And so Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come and come to him. And look at this, and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Hello, guys. I mean, what does world peace look like? No war, a good exchange rate, a good government, good police, no crime. We want all of that. But that's not the peace Jesus gives us. The kind of peace Jesus gives us is the kind of peace that overcomes when the world's at war. You can go to the worst place on earth with peace in your heart because it doesn't come from the place, it comes from Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Remember that, folk. We want peace in South Africa, but qualify it when you pray it. Not, God, let there be peace in South Africa so there's no more racism and there's no more fighting and there's no more this. That's not the right prayer to pray. Say, Lord God, we want peace in South Africa. Give every person in this country Jesus. Because without Jesus, there is no peace. If you have the peace without Jesus, you can think everything's okay, that you don't need Jesus. Imagine, I mean, there's places in the world today where they've got no problems whatsoever. Scandinavian countries, for instance, and they've got no need for God whatsoever. The churches stand empty, but the government's good. There's another government, folk. The government's on his shoulders. And where he is, there'll be no end to the peace. That's the kind of peace we want. He's the Prince of Peace. He gives you peace. If you want peace, you've got to have him. Not a piece of him, all of him. He is peace himself. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. Isn't that amazing? And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Talking about the ruler of the world, that's the devil. Ruler of the world, but not the ruler of the kingdoms. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. I want to just highlight from this same passage the promises that Jesus has made to you. Is that fine? I am preparing a place for you in my Father's house. It's a promise. Will you hear these promises? I'm not going to reiterate it all the time. These are his promises to you. Will you listen? This is a promise to you. I promise it's a promise. I am preparing a place for you in my Father's house. I will come and take you to myself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever sees me sees the Father. Yeah. Whoever believes in me will also do the miracles that I do and greater miracles than these. That's a promise. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Anything in my name, I will do. If you love me, I will ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. What a promise. The Spirit will dwell with you and be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. You will see me. You will know me. Whoever keeps my commandments will be loved by my Father. Listen to this one. I will love you and manifest myself to you. Sure. Listen to this one. We, the Father and I, will come to you and make our home with you. The Holy Spirit will be sent. The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will bring remembrance of my words to you. My peace I give you. Those are promises, folk. If you're going to live on the promises of God, then read his word, highlight the promises, and keep them for yourself because he's speaking them to you. Every single one of these apply to you. He's not excluding anyone, but I love, this is probably the best. I am going away, and I will come to you. I will come to you. You know, there's three occasions, this is speaking about separation. There's three occasions when Jesus was separated from his disciples. And he says this, well, it happened this, his death on the cross, but he rose again. That separation was 3 days. Isn't that awesome? What did he say? I will go, but I will come to you. So he fulfilled his promise. Then his ascension into heaven. When he ascended into heaven, 40 days after his resurrection, his disciples see him go. I will go from you. But then what happened? At Pentecost, 10 days later, the Spirit is poured out. The very thing he was saying that he would do, he did. I will go from you and I will come to you. And the third way is called his session. His session is him seated on the throne at the moment. We're living in the days of the session of God. He is seated on the throne right now. But he's made a promise. We can't physically see or touch him, but we will physically see and touch him because he said, I will go from you and I will come again. Guess what, folk? He is coming again. Do you want proof? The proof is written for us. You can have faith that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you know that you know that you know that that death on that cross and that resurrection from that grave is for you. And when you believe in it, you are forgiven and you know you are. And when he rose again from death, you know this, that there's something beyond this life. Because if you don't have faith in that, you know there's nothing else for you. And then you've got to make up stories about coming back as a frog or something else. But if you believe in that cross and you believe in that resurrection, it gives you hope for the future. That's the proof. The proof that he said he was going to come and come back to you is right here for us right now. His spirit, folk, when his spirit is poured out and you sense the love of God flood you like warm, liquid, wonderful stuff, just goes through your feet, your body, your heart, comes just everywhere. God, your love is real. When his spirit fills you, you know that he's real. You know that he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to come back to you. He's the Spirit of God, I can tell you now, right now. I've heard of somebody who said, I've never had morphine in my life. But I heard of somebody who said that the day he got an injection of morphine, he said it felt like liquid love flowed through his body from that injection. Now, I know this. And he said this. He said, when the doctors offered him another shot, he said everything inside of him was like, give it to me now. And he said, if I do, he felt like the Spirit of God said to him, you will be addicted to that for the rest of your life. He said, no, thank you. How's that? I mean, I know some people have had to have morphine after morphine after morphine. But, folk, there's nothing like the Spirit of God. If you want liquid love in your body, and he offers it to you again, take it again. Because you know that he's real. He's gone, and he's come back, and he's coming again. It's the truth. His promises are real. His promises are true. Now, I want to do this again, if you don't mind. How many times is the Father mentioned in this passage? Because I want you to understand something. The thing that Jesus wants to give you is himself. You might be here today needing healing in your body. Jesus can heal you, but he wants to give you himself. You might be needing your finances to change. He can change your finances, but he wants to give you himself. You might be here because of a broken relationship. Things are not going right in your life. God wants to make it right for you, and God can give you great relationships, but above all, he wants to give you himself. And when he makes a promise like this, he's promising you all of himself. Now, in this scripture, we've heard of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the promise is this, the whole Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the way the Father loves the Son, the way the Son loves the Spirit, the way the Spirit loves the Father, the way they just continually revolve around each other is actually amazing. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. When God starts loving the one, the Father starts surrounding Jesus and starts surrounding the Spirit, and the Spirit starts surrounding the Father because he's like, I don't want to make it all about me. I want to make it about you. And Jesus is like, don't make it about me. I want to make it about you, Father. The Father's like, don't make it about me. It's about you guys. And they just revolve around each other. Then none of them is saying, revolve around me. And out of this loving, other-centered folk, other-focused, just appreciation of more than themselves is this wonderful Trinity that's spinning. And out of it, boom, comes creation and the sun and planets that move all around it. And out of this incredible Father, Son, Holy Spirit, boom, comes every nucleus and electron spinning around within atoms that make up every part of everything that exists. Because he wants to give of himself. He's so loving and kind, it all just comes out. And when Jesus is standing there, he's like, I want to heal you. I want to be there for you. But actually, I want to go. Because when I go, it's better for you because then we're all coming. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're all going to get into you, and you're going to get into us, and we're going to be united forever. That's what he wants. I want to give you myself. But the proviso is, I can't give myself to the world. I give myself to those who believe in me. In other words, you've got to give me yourself. Will you give yourself to him? Will you give yourself? This is the call for every one of us to make disciples. To the Great Commission, go and make disciples all in all nations, baptizing them what? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Get them so into God and God so into them. And I'll be with you to the ends of the age. And what happens at the ends of the age? There he is again. Look at the Father. Look what the Father does for us. The Father just keeps giving and giving and giving. If you want the Father, have the Father. What do you have when you have the Father? The Father allows us into his house. Can someone say amen? The Father accepts us by believing in Jesus. Amen? The Father reveals himself through Jesus. The Father and the Son are united. The Father is present in Jesus. The Father is doing the miracles. Think of all of those. The Father accepts Jesus, therefore grants his promises to us. Jesus made promises to you. I've just listed them. The Father's backing them because he loves Jesus. So heaven's backing the promises he's made to you. The Father is glorified by our partnership with Jesus in prayer. The Father gives the Holy Spirit. In Christ, we are united to the Father. Obedience attracts the Father's love. The Father and the Son come to us. The Father and the Son make their home in us. The Father has spoken in his Son. The Father is greater than Jesus. That's interesting. The Father greater than Jesus. Let me remind you, they're separate persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're equal in every way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Equal. If you talk to the Father, you're talking to God. If you talk to Jesus, you're talking to God. If you talk to the Spirit, you're talking to God. But the only way the Father's greater than Jesus is in role, not in essence. His role is to lead. And if you can get it right in your understanding of the Trinity, you can get it right in your understanding of your family, husband, wife, children. Equal. Someone leads. Not greater as in special, but greater as in let me submit myself. You won't get it right if you don't get it right in God. Get it, look at God and get it right, and then you'll get it right in your marriage and you'll get it right in church. You know the world doesn't like what I just said. You know this. A friend of ours who used to be in this church, influenced by the word of God, made a statement in public and lost his job this last week just because he believes it. When we believe that there's authority in our lives, folk, when we believe that it's good for us and we go and try and live it out, a lot of people don't like it. Jesus wants us to obey the Father and to love the Father. The Father's a great giver, folk. He already gave you his image. He's already given you all creation, but he's in heaven. And Jesus is a great gift himself. I mean, he's the Savior of the world. He's defeated sin. He's destroyed Satan and death and is seated on the throne. But in the flesh and in his new resurrection body, Jesus isn't here right now. Jesus is in heaven. But the Spirit is the gift the Father and the Son have promised to every one of us. And he's here right now. And if you want him, he's available to everyone. And if you believe in him, he lives in you. But if you believe in him and you know that he's in you, you know this, that there's times when you can grow like a dead tree and you can do the things that your flesh wants you to do. But he wants us to be filled with him and controlled with him. It's different when the Spirit's in us and when the Spirit has filled us and overflowing from us and when the Spirit is controlling us. There's two things that can control you, and one's not your mother-in-law, and I've got a great mother-in-law. There's two things that can control you, the Spirit and your flesh. I want you to be controlled by the Spirit. You know, your marriage can be amazing if you let the Spirit control it. Your finances can be amazing if it's controlled by the Spirit. Will you break the dam that's protecting the other man-made bridge and allow the Spirit to take control? Even now, as John was sharing about making withdrawal, I've just felt, Holy Spirit, I've got to respond to you. Took out my F&B app, release an offering. I know what I need, and I know what I got, and I know they don't match, but God's good. And so I want to respond to his Spirit. And when I respond to his Spirit, he does things. Now, I'm not saying, please, I want none of you to give me anything. I'm not saying that for that. But I want every one of you to obey the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to what he wants to do. If he says something that seems impossible to you, believe it. Trust him. And he will guide you. He'll do amazing things. The Spirit, there's no greater gift from God than God himself. He has given himself to you. He renews you. He makes you a new creation. Let me remind you of who the Spirit is. He's the Parakletos. The Greek word Parakletos is comforter. Would anybody here need comfort? He's the advocate. Anybody need somebody to stand in their case on behalf of your case? He's the intercessor, someone who prays for you. He's the counselor who gives you wisdom. He's the helper. He's the great assistant. He's the teacher. He's the guide. He's the encourager. He's the friend. He's the standby. When you're alone, you're not alone because he's with you and the Father and Son are with him too. So there's four of you wherever you go. So he helps us be who Jesus has called us to be. He helps us receive what Jesus received in order for Jesus to do what Jesus did. He helps to ask when we don't know how to ask. I mean, I will keep asking for a Ferrari, but I need the Holy Spirit to help me ask for the stuff that is necessary. Ask for the nations. And he helps us to do all those things that make us look like followers of Christ. But the only thing that makes us a follower of Christ is if he is inside. These are the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God. If He's in you, you're a follower of Jesus. So I want to ask you, please follow the Spirit. Please be guided by the Spirit. Let's make a move. Let's move from believing Jesus to loving Jesus. Not just believing Jesus. The demons believe Jesus. They don't love Him. Move from receiving His word to obeying His word. Let's move from seeing Him before us to seeing Him in us. Let's move from doing what He wants to being what He wants. Because you might think that you've done what you need to do and you've done it. But if you be, you're always it. Let's move from doing things of the world to doing the things of God. And the Spirit of God helps us in all these things. He is upon us, Isaiah 61. He is breathed into us, John 20. He is the guarantee of the future, the deposit in Ephesians 1. He has been poured out and we are filled and should be controlled by Him, Acts chapter 2. He is the witness of Jesus. He represents the Father and He gives us power. Let us not grieve the Spirit, Ephesians 5, but let us be comforted by Him and refreshed by Him, Acts chapter 3. My last scripture I read this morning and I want to read it to you. Exodus chapter 17 from verse 1 to 6. And then we're going to pray for folk. It says this, water from the rock. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin. That's just a name. It doesn't actually mean sin over there, but it's interesting. Let's move on from the wilderness of Sin. By stages. No, please, don't let it be stages. Break free. According to the commandments of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses, saying, give us water to drink. And Moses said to him, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why do you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with this people? And they are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Wow. Will you come to Jesus Christ, the rock who was struck on that cross for every one of us? Because from Him flows rivers of living water. And He changes our grumbling and our fighting and all of that which has got everything to do with the flesh, satisfies it completely. Perhaps you've been moaning and complaining and grumbling this week. And I want to say this to you, that as you hunger for more of the Spirit of God, some things are going to surface in your life. You might find your temptations increase. But this is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth wants to show you what you need to deal with. And if He shows you, He's not trying to hurt you. Because the one who convicts you is the one who comforts you and He wants to set you free. And if you start to see some things in your flesh rise up this week, lust, pride, greed, anger, whatever it is, would you ask the Holy Spirit to remove the dead wood, to remove the protective man-made things and let Him wash it away? And if there's some things that need to be struck in your life because they're wrong, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was struck for you, so that you can have living water. He's not going to strike you. He wants to refresh you. Repent and believe, and the Spirit of God will fill you. Who's hungry and thirsty? Who's thirsty?